Hello! What's up, KDBS Davis 90.3 FM? You are no longer listening to The Money Show. However, because DJ Naima Money is my dear co-host that has gone missing, MIA, I've decided to put her final wish, her final request, as the intro background music to The Autism Show, which you are listening to right now with DJ Mudskipper, no money this time. And...
Oh! Oh, you can hear me.
Yes.
Hello, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone around and in between. This is DJ Chooch joining for a very special episode of The Autism Show.
Can you give us a little background on your autism background?
Oh, my autism background.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific questions or?
No.
Okay. I think it was about senior year of high school that I got some of my friends, started to ask, are you autistic or are you somewhere on the spectrum? And I got a couple more people in my freshman year of college asking me that as well. Mm-hmm. I've taken the generic autism test that's online, the one that's like 50 questions, somewhere around there. And I've never been diagnosed by a doctor, but I personally feel like I'm not on the autism. I mean, everyone's a little bit on the spectrum, but for me, I feel like I have autistic traits, but maybe not necessarily autism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your thoughts on that?
You know, you could be diagnosed with autism today Money Mudskipper, because I guess for Money Monday or Mudskipper Monday, I'll be Money Mudskipper.
Mm.
But you know, I'm very, very certified, very normal. I have a lot of certifications. This is truth, definitely, and I can diagnose you, and you can go to the SDC and say, I have autism.
Whoa.
You know, I also heard you're very well educated about the autism topic, such as the connection between Sonic and autism. I heard you know a lot about that. Can you tell us more?
Oh, I don't actually know a lot about it.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
No, it's cool. I should have spoken better. It's more so... I see the connection between the two very well, but like, I would not be a professional on the matter as much as you might be. The closest thing that I'm thinking of right now is the infamous Chris Chan, who many of our audience might know.
Let's not talk about Chris Chan.
Yeah, exactly.
Today.
That's a whole nother topic.
You know, the autism show is full of pureness, purity,
exactly.
Joy, love, silliness. we only talk about the best of autism here on our show, which is why we normally have Naima Money and Money Mudskipper on the show, because who else is good enough to represent the purity and amazingness and awesomeness of autism other than us?
Yeah, sorry, I'm kind of ruining the show right now.
No, we invited you for a reason, or it's more like I invited you for a reason, because where's Naima Money?
Guys, where's Naima?
Naima Money, Naima Money, if you're there, feel free to call out to us at 530-752, KBS, that's 5387. I think I misspoke one of those times, but you know, I'll use the excuse that this is the autism show, so you know I have autism, so I have struggles, or I struggle with basic things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so please do not be mean to me. It seems like the Naima song has ended, so I'm turning on another special song.
Let's
turn it up a bit so people can hear what it is. What's that? DJ Chooch, do you know what that is?
I know what that is. That is a gamelan ensemble. From Indonesia.
Yes.
And we actually have... I think it's a little bit too loud. Not that I want to... Not saying that I want you to mute it, but yeah.
Yes, we've turned it down a bit.
Yeah, okay. Anyway...
Turn down the Pikmin as well. Pikmin are getting kind of excited. They're like, wait, I've always loved gamelan. I'm so happy to hear it today on the autism show.
Exactly. Anyway, we take a gamelan ensemble class with our very own professor, Henny Savitri.
Yes. And we played this song.
We played this song. Maybe to a varying degree of quality as the video that we are listening to right now.
Yeah, but you know, my excuse is that I have autism. I struggle with basic tasks. But maybe I won't struggle no more. We're gonna practice hard. Mm-hmm. We're gonna practice like hardworking autistic individuals with autism, because autism does not hold us back. We are still strong and powerful.
Yes, strong and powerful, like yes. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Like Sonic the Hedgehog, we are also fast, which might be a detriment to Gummenland, because I think I play a little too fast.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the song that you're listening to though is called Ladrang Wilujeng. And the ensemble that's playing this is Soportiningsi, I believe. Yes. And, you know, I bet they also love autism. Speaking of autism, as we've been speaking about for this entire show, the reason why I brought up Sonic and the connection between Sonic and autism is because I had another autistic individual. He kind of had like a Freudian slip last night where he was talking about people with autism, and he started using the we. He started using, like, he started saying us and we. And I was like, wait, this is a little sus. It's more like a premonition, like a sign from the universe. Like, maybe you are autistic. Enough of that. I'm like going way off track right now. We watched this video about the connection between Sonic and autism, and it was because he said, oh, by the way, the individual I'm talking about is the pupil who is a DJ on KDBS, and I was saying like a bunch of stuff, and he was like, this is just like the video that I watched about Sonic and the connection between Sonic and autism. And I was like, oh, what are you trying to say? And it was because I liked predictability. I like it when people are predictable. I like it when things are predictable. I like it when things are color-coded. And you know, Sonic may not be my special interest, but I like Vocaloid and I like Pikmin. Mm-hmm. And Pikmin in particular, they're very color-coded. Can you tell us the colors of the Pikmin?
Oh, I can name some of the Pikmin that are actually on the screen right now, on the computer screen. So we have the basic red Pikmin, right?
Uh-huh.
The ones that people talk about the most are the red Pikmin,
uh-huh.
the yellow Pikmin,
uh-huh.
and the blue Pikmin.
Uh-huh.
The yellow one can withstand electricity, right?
Yes.
The red
yes.
one can withstand fire, correct?
Yes.
And the blue one can withstand the water.
Yes.
And then for the purple Pikmin, I just know that he's really big and fat, and he can weigh down a flower if you throw him on a flower.
Yeah, he's strong. He's super strong.
I love that clip of Reggie Fils-Aimé when he's before he stands on the what is it, the Wii Fit, and he's like, mm-hmm. I feel like a no, he says my body's Reggie. No, there's another clip of him going, I feel like a purple Pikmin.
I've not watched that video actually.
Really?
I don't know what you're talking
it's classic.
About.
Anyway, the white Pikmin, I'm unfamiliar. So if you could educate our dear audience before I misinform them.
He's very small. So I'm sure, well, many of us know about the red, yellow, and blue Pikmin, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're our classic Pikmin. They're an average size. But the white Pikmin is actually a bit smaller. And because of that, he's weaker. So if the purple Pikmin is very strong, the white Pikmin is very weak. And you might be thinking, well, what's his purpose? Like, why is he there? Well, the answer is because he's actually toxic. He's poisonous. He can melt steel beams.
Whoa.
And he, like, has anger issues and stuff. In the Pikmin films, he's, like, always angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told I'm a white Pikmin
mm-hmm.
by Naima Money. And, you know, that may or may not be why she's gone today.
You melted Naima Money away with your toxicity.
Yeah, she was like, you're a white Pikmin. And I was like, wait, but you're, like, calling me toxic. So I melted her so she wouldn't have to say that anymore. There are other Pikmins out there, such as mm-hmm. the rock Pikmin. I know Naima Money likes the rock Pikmin. He's rock. He's strong.
Mm-hmm.
He's not only is he strong though, but he's hard. he's also slow. He's very strong, and he has a brother called the Ice Pikmin, who is released in Pikmin 4, and he can freeze things. And there's also Pikmin. Pink Pikmin is even smaller than white Pikmin. You didn't think they could get any smaller, but they're small. they can get even smaller. And Pink Pikmin flies. He can fly, and also not only can he fly, but he's fast. Pink Pikmin is so fast. And the final Pikmin I didn't speak of was Glow Pikmin. Glow Pikmin is a new Pikmin from Pikmin 4. It's green. It's super tiny, just like Pink Pikmin. It has asymmetrical eyes. Like, one of them is really big and the other is really small. His eyes are also blue, and he glows. That's why he's Glow Pikmin. And also, unlike other Pikmin who grow like normal flowers, the Glow Pikmin has a star-shaped flower. It's so cool.
Very.
Yeah. I feel like we went totally off track because I meant to talk a bit more about the connection between Sonic and autism.
I think we tried doing that 3 times already.
You know, fun fact, not only do I have autism, but I have ADHD. So I feel like it's very obvious right now. But what else was on that? I also like Vocaloid because they're also color-coded, but we watched that entire video and it was like, yeah, like, I guess there is, it makes sense that there's such a connection between Sonic and autism, because it was like a collection of things such as liking the predictability of the characters, you know, they're like color-coded to their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of that. That's why I like Pikmin and Vocaloid.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it's like a sensory thing where they like the pacing of like being able to control yourself in a video game. Sometimes it's overwhelming for some autistic people because it's a spectrum, guys. Not all autistic people are the same, but for others it might be like a really good sensory experience. It was for me. I really like going fast. Something else on there was another aspect of the sensory thing was the music. It has like fun, cool songs, which is why autistic people might like it, because it gives a pleasant sensory experience. I'm not sure if I'm forgetting anything else, but like, I was watching that and I was like, Loki, is that like, that's kind of like how I feel about all my interests though. I like that, like, I can understand them to such a great degree. I like analyzing things. I like making lists, charts. And it's just so fun. And another thing they pointed out is that a lot of autistic people, like with their interest in stuff, they go like even further with their interests, like, like they'll like something so much that they kind of refuse to get into anything else, or like they struggle with like getting interested with anything else. And that's kind of like me and why I just don't talk about anything other than Vocaloid and Pikmin. And you know, these days Gumball also. I'm sure you're also a big fan of Gumball, Mr. President, or DJ Chooch. DJ Chooch is kind of like the president to me. I voted for you, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so excited for you to be our next U.S. president.
Why, thank you. I will take the country on by storm. We will have a weekly national art club meeting.
Oh, yes.
Oh, by the way, the context, I'm the art club president on campus.
Mm-hmm.
In case you are interested, we have meetings 2 to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. every Friday in room 229 of the art building. So if that sounds at all interesting to you, maybe check out this week's meeting.
Yes, and you might see a mud skipper there. I'm pretty hard to spot, though, because I feel like I'm a lot smaller than the other humans in art club, you know, mm-hmm. given that I'm not, like, I'm a fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty small.
Yeah. But we welcome all species in the club.
Yes, we're not speciesist.
Yes.
And, you know, I heard that art club is a very welcoming place for autistic individuals.
It is. We have a wide variety of autistic individuals. Mm-hmm. In fact, our, this is slightly related, but our previous vice president was actually a huge Vocaloid fan herself.
Yes. You know, in fact, she's actually been on KDBS a few times.
Mm-hmm.
We sang Vocaloid together.
Yes.
And we were, like, autisming out. I was like, I love Vocaloid.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to talk about any Vocaloid facts today, though, just because I already said so many last time. But, you know, I think this might be relatable to many autistic individuals, but I really like making lists and like ranking things. And I was thinking about that earlier today because, well, yesterday, in fact, I went to the beach and You know me, I'm Mudskipper. I'm a big fan of fish and marine organisms. And I was thinking, like, something that's so fun about, I guess, like, all ecology, whatever, like, kind of animal you like, organism you like, whether it be fish, marine invertebrates, or birds, or mammals, like, it's just so fun to group them up. Like, taxonomy, that's, like, kind of like the autistic heaven.
Exactly.
It's so cool. Like, yesterday I was, like, identifying all these fish, and I was like, that fish, it doesn't have fused dorsal fins, it can't be a goby, it can't be my fellow goby for me, fish. Oh, fun fact, mudskippers are gobies, by the way. Mm-hmm. You can tell because they have separated dorsal fins and fused pelvic fins, which is so awesome. I guess that's, like, also why I feel like I've been having so much fun with fish. Just the listing, ranking things. I think in, like, children and young children, the listing things with autism presents itself as, like, you know when the autistic child on Wikipedia, the one that stacks cans, we're like kind of like that guy. Or like, I don't know if anyone else did this, but you would like order your plushies. I thought that was a normal child thing to do. I still kind of think it's a normal kid thing to do. But apparently it's really common for autistic children to do the same. And the way that I would order my plushies was not really like just out of randomness. Like, I would stack them on top of my couch, and they would be like color coded. So like, or like for the, you know, I had Teletubbies plushies, for example. They all had to be together, and they had to be in this exact same order as like in the Teletubbies theme song. And then after that, I had like Barney, and then I had my specific Hello Kitty plushies, and they all had to be in order. They had to be grouped together. And I guess that really, that's like where my love for grouping things together and listing things and ranking things came from. It was the neurological disorder within me. A condition, yes, the neurological condition within me. It conditioned me to be this way, guys. Mm-hmm. It conditioned me to love the art of listing things.
Real.
And, well, you know, my brain's, like, going a whole different other direction right now, and I'm like, wait, if I say this, it'll be really confusing. So I'll describe the passing for you. I was talking about rankings, right? And then suddenly I start thinking about numbers.
Okay.
And I was going to ask you, what's your favorite number?
Ooh. I'd say, okay, off the top of my head, I don't have a favorite number, but, like, I'm digging through my head right now. Mm-hmm. Seven's one of my favorite to write because sometimes you can put the little dash through it.
I put the dash through it, too.
I love writing a really good number three. Mm. And also, I think the number 38 is really interesting because I don't see it very often.
We're like twins because my favorite number is three.
Mm-hmm.
And my rank two, you know, like if you had a tier list, my rank A would be three, or no, my rank S would be three, and then my rank A would be 7 and 9.
Ooh.
And then on B would be 38 and 39.
No way.
Yeah, so we're literally twinning.
That's crazy.
I love the number three.
This is our brain waves overlapping.
Oh, yes. Listen, tune into Weird Waves.
Mm-hmm. Our weird waves are overlapping.
Yes. But I love the number three, and it kind of stemmed from, I had this book as a child, and this character in the book, I don't remember what his name was, but he was a really big fan of the number three. And, like, they're describing the number three, and I was like, I like the number three.
Yeah.
And it's like an odd number. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't really like even numbers, by the way. My exception is the number 8.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, 3 is just so perfect because it's like this, aside from 1, it's like the smallest odd number, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a perfect middle. You have a 1, and then you have a 3. It's like surrounding the middle.
Yes.
And like a 3, it's so good to write. I like writing it with like the flat top on the.
Yes. Flat top.
Flat top. It's peak. Best way to write your number threes. People call me a poser, but I don't care. That's the way I like writing number three. Mm-hmm. People also call me a poser for putting the little dash in the 7. What can you do? Father Mudskipper taught me to do it that way. My father did it.
Speaking of writing numbers, what's really fun is in Arabic numerals, I'd say one of my favorite numbers. I was going to say letters. I caught myself. Uh-huh. One of my favorite numbers to write. I'll say a 3, because you just go, you got the two little, like, you got the W, and then you got the stem at the end.
Yes,
it's really
letter.
Fun. And then one that I'm trying to master is the 5. I'm taking I'm taking Persian, so I'm not saying the Arabic names, but
Khamsa. I'll say it for you.
Yes.
Khamsa.
Yeah, in Farsi, it's Panj.
I'm not good at Arabic.
Wait, do you want to, like, for our individuals listening to the show, would you like to count to 1 to 10 in Arabic?
I don't know. Let's try, like, how far I can count, because I don't think I remember, like, up to 10. I know, واحد, اثنان, ثلاثة, أربعة, خمسة, ستة, سبعة, سبعة. What's 8?
You want to look this up really quick?
Yeah.
You have the internet at your fingertips down here.
Thamania. I don't think I'm pronouncing Thamania. That's, I remember it being pronounced like that. Yeah. And then Tisa. I know Tisa. That's 9. And then Ashara. That's 10.
Okay. Beautiful.
That was, I struggled. I can count better in other languages, guys. Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to learn how to count from 1 to 10 in Farsi, it's Yik, Do, Se, Chahar, Panj, Shesh. I don't know why I was blanking. Shesh, haft, hashed, no, da. Oh, also, I wanted to jump back up on a topic from earlier, because you were talking about taxonomy and mudskippers.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to bring up how recently I learned that my favorite musician, and if I was autistic, I may or may not be, this would be my special interest, but Frank Zappa and his music is definitely my favorite interest. There is a mudskipper named after Frank Zappa. So this is like DJ Mudskipper and DJ Chooch's like special interests like coming together. So would you like to talk a little bit about the Zappa Mudskipper?
It's the Zappa confluentus. I believe it's found in New Guinea. I actually found out about this even before DJ Chooch did. And it was because I was researching a bunch of mudskippers, and I came across this interestingly named mudskipper, and I was like, oh, what is this? I think there were like some other cool facts about it. I was intrigued by how it was also known as the slender mudskipper, and I think it's the only mudskipper in its genus, it seems like, which is also why I was very interested in it. I believe that's also why they called it the Zappa. They were like, we gotta bring more attention to this genus. Mm-hmm. I may be incorrect on that. I'm not sure if there's more mudskippers in that genus nowadays, but that's pretty cool. It's found in New Guinea, as you can tell, because it's called the New Guinea mudskipper. Mm-hmm. Slender mudskipper, it's skinny. Yeah, that looks pretty skinny, doesn't it?
That's a skinny mudskipper.
That's a skinny mudskipper. Nothing like this beast right here. The giant mudskipper.
Would you like to talk a little bit about the giant mudskipper?
The giant mudskipper is very big. The giant mudskipper, he's very big, and he has this lateral black stripe along itself, but this stripe only presents itself once it's agitated, or like when it's irritated or angry or aggressive. So, I'm directing DJ Chooch to these images, but if they're like not aggressive or anything, they're not gonna have that stripe on them.
Interesting.
See?
It's like your dad is happy when he's not red in the face, but when he's red in the face, he's angry.
Yeah, but like if you're a giant mudskipper like me, you'll know if your dad's not angry if he doesn't have that black stripe on him. And another cool thing is that, like all fish, they can raise their dorsal fins, right? They have spiny dorsal fins, by the way, because they're a part of the ray-finned fish family, I can't pronounce Latin names, I'm not going to try anymore. but basically, they're the ray-finned fishes, and they have a spiny dorsal ray part and then a soft dorsal ray part. They're also separated in the mudskipper since they are part of the family Gobiformes, also known as the gobies. But anyways, as I was going, or like where I was going with this, is that when mudskippers are like irritated, they're agitated, and they're like trying to start a fight, right? They start raising their dorsal fins, and this makes them seem a lot bigger. you see that, DJ Chooch?
Oh, I do. I've seen footage of this.
Yeah, he's angry. And that's, they, you know, it's kind of like when cats puff themselves up. When fish are, like, trying to be aggressive, they puff their, or some fish, I guess, not all fish, but especially the mud skipper, they start raising their rays, their dorsal rays, to seem big and angry and intimidating. But that's really cool. Something else really cool is that they fight with their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you see a mud skipper, they're like locking lips. They're not kissing. They're angry. They're like trying. They're trying to fight. They're trying to kill.
Yeah, this is toxic yaoi, everybody.
This is very toxic. Anyways, the giant mud skipper is really cool though, because like they're very big, right? So they can actually eat other mud skippers. So it's very scary. Like, nope. Even if you're another mud skipper, you're not safe from this creature. And I was reading this paper. I was reading this book, actually. It was Lord of the Mudflats. It's about mud skippers. And other organisms that live in the same environment as the giant mud skipper, they actually tend to avoid the giant mud skipper because they're afraid of him. They grow up to 27 centimeters in standard length, I believe, which measures the front of its body all the way to the tip of its tail.
So for you listeners at home, if
actually,
you...
Actually, no, I got that wrong. It's from the front of its body to the tip of its caudal peduncle, which is right before the... I'm not sure how to describe this, but you know, like in a fish's tail, there's like that flesh part.
Yes.
And then there's the rays.
Yes.
So you only measure to the tip of that fleshy part, which is called the end of the caudal peduncle.
Okay.
And that is what standard length is.
Okay. So for the audience at home, if you'd like to think about this, take your two hands, put them together, put them out in front of you. Not if you're driving. If you're driving, put your hands on 10 and 2. But... put your hands out together. You can fit a mud skipper in both palms.
Yeah, but they might be really angry. They might like,
yeah, they might go, wah.
Yeah, they're going to open their mouths and they're like probably going to pounce at your face because they're aggressive, they're strong. And another cool fact about the giant mud skipper is that, well, they make burrows, right? All gobies, they kind of just make burrows. They're bent, thick fishes. But they make them for egg laying. And it's the male that does this. And they do it to try to court females. And once the female goes in and lays its egg, the male mud skipper, it's a very solitary animal. It's actually going to chase the female out. It's going to be like, okay, you've given me your eggs. You're not fit to protect my children. Get out of here. And it will care for its children in its burrow. And... the mudskipper burrow, it can be very hypoxic. And what that means is that it might lack oxygen. So what the mudskipper does is that it will actually take huge gulps of air and then, like, just kind of spit it out into the burrow. So, like, just imagine yourself, like you inhale. But you don't inhale. Don't inhale it into your lungs. You just, like, keep the air in your mouth as you, like, blow it up. And you blow it out into the burrow, like...
so he's like CPRing the burrow.
Yeah, and what that does is that it aerates the eggs so they can survive.
Wow.
So the male mudskipper, he's a good father.
Good father. Very sexist, but good father.
Sexist, but good father.
Yes, like an unfortunate pattern in the animal kingdom.
Yes. Actually, males being the primary caretaker of their young is very common within fishes that take care of their young. So there's this also this cool thing called mouth brooding, where males will just put all their eggs into their mouths, and that's how they aerate their children.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how they care for their children. Let's see if we can pull out a picture for DJ Chooch.
the mouth brooder.
Yeah.
Also, what time is it right now?
It's 4:59. Autism is about to be canceled.
No!
Autism is about to be over, but you know what? We're coming back in 2 weeks, so autism isn't over forever. So, that's all for today.
What's up next, everybody?
What's up next, everybody? we're doing a quick broadcast test for the women's basketball game.
Yippee!
I heard there's a lot of mudskippers playing basketball these days.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Stay tuned for that if you'd like, and stay tuned for what's afterwards.
Thank you for letting me be on the autism show. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being autistic today.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I love you.
Bye, everyone.
Check the time.